So, Elvis, you sit down and you're going over these schematics. This is your first truly detailed look at this gun. They give you details about the chemicals that you need, certain metal alloys, and the general build of the thing. It looks like, in theory, you shouldn't be able to fire it without Luna's blood or something at least comparable. But one thing you can say is striking is you're actually more comfortable with these schematics than you thought you might be. Because your own gear amplifies your abilities, this is kind of in that same vein. Now, in your case, you're funneling your teleportation power through the machines. But Luna has no control of her power like you do. It's just always on. So they take some of her blood, and they manage to actually enact a reaction that reproduces her ability. The reaction is brief, but for a short while, it projects Luna's usual sphere of influence, which is pretty big. You could say it's really more of a bomb than a gun. But regardless of semantics, you've got the chemicals that you're looking for, and you can compare them to what this particular company is making. Now, broadly, they're just listed as an R&D company, so they don't have any actual exports. They do research, and then they sell the research data. However, they do have to report on what kind of chemicals that they're using for their stuff, and there they are. The chemicals that you would need to make this gun are going into this R&D group.
Okay, so guys, I have done the research, and while super fascinating, I'll cut it short and say that this company looks guilty. Although, is it weird that they're really guilty looking? Because, I mean, they took somebody from Luna Island, and they've got all the chemicals, and it just seems kind of too obvious, doesn't it?
Well, no, Flux. I mean, a lot of times if you're looking at a company that's doing crimes, they're kind of just doing crimes. The point of most crime is to make money, and very diligently hiding everything could cost a lot of money. So, if you're seeing obvious signs of crime, it's probably crime.
But why hire a scientist from Luna Island? I mean, that's so obvious, it's such a red flag. That's how Paul figured it out.
Well, what do you think? They have a lot of choices? They need someone with insider information who's also willing to flip to them. They found that. And that alone is a very lucky break. They grabbed that opportunity, but it only is what it is. They have to accept the drawbacks of it, too. In a way, we're kind of lucky. If Luna Island had gone through a bunch of layoffs recently, then there'd be all these employees who are disgruntled and in need of money. And Mercury would have great pickings.
And Kimon would know. A lot of people from his gangs were recently laid off, to the point where we started looking for that as a red flag.
You know, we sometimes got superheroes to flip for us, because Unstoppable Industries was squeezing people out of the markets and they had nowhere else to go.
A competitive free market does sometimes cause a little bit of strain temporarily. But alright, look, I'm gonna send this information to Snakeman. We'll see if he can get us a warrant.
Well, you guys send that information off to Snakeman, and then Kimon and Flux, you guys keep an eye on this company for a while, but it doesn't do anything too interesting. Snakeman gets back to you guys pretty quick. He calls you the next evening when you're all available. He says, "All right, guys, so I've reviewed the information that you sent me. We have a company that's importing chemicals that are related to a crime that you're interested in, and an employee who might also be related to said crime. Now, these things are circumstantial. None of this stuff is illegal, so a judge isn't going to be down for, like, you know, a raid. But they would probably be open to maybe more enhanced surveillance. And before Captain Momentum passed away, he'd been talking to me a little bit about how your new guy Flux was kind of a tech whiz. So I don't know if you guys are interested in deploying bugs."
Oh, we didn't go over that in the meeting when you first came in. Elvis, is that something you can do?
It was in his docket. He has, yes, the teleportation powers combined with his technical skill means we could use him for all kinds of bugging and surveillance.
Well, I didn't realize that, Kimon. I thought we were still relying on your hearing and super senses.
The kid can program. He can do cyber stuff. I can't listen to a computer.
Well, can we let Flux talk for himself? Flux, can you do bugging?
Yeah, I mean, I could do wiretapping. Would be easy enough. Or I could set up like a rat on their computer networks if I could get a USB drive there.
What's a rat? Is that like a virus?
Remote access terminal. It's a kind of malware, so people would think of it as a virus.
Okay, cool. So you're a hacker. So if we get the warrant, you can just like get in their systems?
Well, that's why I said I need a USB. I could install stuff on their computer.
I don't know if I like that. I'd rather do it online.
Well, I could try, like, a phishing scam, I guess.
Look, we're presuming that this is a shell company being set up as a front to do illegal operations. We don't even know that they're looking at their emails.
Snakeman chimes in through the phone, and he goes, "Hey, guys, before you get any further in planning, I just want to point out that you're going to have to be pretty specific with your investigation. I mean, like, a rat, that's pretty invasive, isn't it?"
"Yeah, it'll give me total access to their computer. I could search everything."
"Yeah, so, big problem. A lot of times, if you tell the judge, I just want to search everything, they're going to say no. You have to be specific. A company, for example, is going to probably have a lot of proprietary data that they wouldn't want anyone just snooping through. And I can't tell a judge that you guys need to snoop through all of their, you know, company ledgers and politics and everything else. We need to say we are looking at this because it is probably connected to this crime. having control of the entire computer network, that's too much.
Come on, Snickman, can't you swing this for us?
Paul, I've got a good relationship with the judge, and I'm a good lawyer, but part of being a good lawyer means being able to tell my client when they can't do something. I'm not saying that I couldn't persuade the judge. We do have a good relationship, but one of the reasons why we have a good relationship is because he trusts me, I follow the rules, I know what they are. You know, so I can't cross that line very many times.
Well, this is a big case. This is the death of Captain Momentum. I say you cross that line.
No, don't.
Kimon, I am not wanting to sit around and wait to see if we can figure this out piece by piece. If we can get in there and install a rat on their computer that proves what they did, I would rather we just do that.
But we have far from exhausted our only leads. I mean, who is the scientist we're looking at? What's his name?
The documents you guys sent me says his name is Daryl Masterson.
So, Mason, we've been watching this place for a couple of days. Have we actually seen this scientist come or go from the building yet?
You haven't laid eyes on him yet.
Lowry, we've been watching this place and we haven't seen that scientist come in or out. So suppose we call in this currency, we spend it, and then we go and it's an empty building.
Kimon, they have installed soundproofing and cameras. Why would they go through all that trouble if it's an empty building?
If it were me, I would be baiting a trap.
That is some sci-fi bullcrap.
I used to do that.
They're not... Okay, listen to me. You had, like, an entire terrorist cell going on. You had money that... I don't even know where you got all
okay,
your money
well,
still.
Okay, fine. Tell me what we're going to tell the judge that we're specifically looking for.
Proof that they are trying to synthesize Luna's blood, and make a weapon to kill more superheroes.
Yeah, okay, so we just tell the judge I want to look at all their schematics and make sure they're not doing nothing.
Yes, that is what Snakeman will do, and I'm sure he's not going to use the insulting voice.
A more specific search would be helpful, though, guys. I mean, anything I can work with.
Look, here's how I see we could be walking into a trap. They hire this scientist, they know he's got to go to some kind of R&D firm, so they create one. Shell company. Then they insulate the place because they know that I have super hearing. They want me to think they're doing something there. We break in, we bug the place, but there's nothing going on. So we spend that time watching that place, but you know what matters? That scientist.
Soundproofing is going to cost thousands of dollars. That is such a waste for a fake operation.
The soundproofing is probably going to be the thing that makes the judge go for this, honestly. It does appear that they're trying to hide something.
And I do think that they're using this place to perpetrate crimes.
Then why are you arguing against this?
Because if we can find Mr. Masterson, then we can find out what he's doing. We can tell the judge we're gonna wiretap him, specifically. We're gonna look at his computer. And if we follow him, he's the trail that leads us to the more specific questions.
Okay, great. Well, I'm glad we had this argument. So, Snakeman, can we ask the judge if we can wiretap that particular scientist?
You know, hold off on that. Let's find the guy first, figure out what he's doing. Is he going to work? Is he working from home? And then we'll play it from there.
Kimon, this is just going back to slowing things down. We know where he works. We could just tap his computer, phone, whatever.
Yeah, we could spend a couple of days asking a judge for a warrant without good enough specifics and then getting rejected. Or we could watch this guy for a couple of days and get our ducks in a row.
All right, fine, whatever.
So am I making some malware or like a bug?
Nah, think about it. You know, figure out what you want to do. But for now, we're going to do some less invasive stuff.
Okay.
Well then, Paul, over the next couple of days, what are you going to do?
Can we find out where Daryl Masterson lives?
You sure can. He lives out in the suburbs outside the city.
All right, great. I'm going to take Flux and we're going to go out there. We'll park outside his house and just kind of wait. Is there any sign that he's there?
Nope. There's a car outside the driveway. But you watch on until evening, and the lights never come on.
Okay. Get up and check his mailbox. Just peek inside. Is it stuff full of junk?
Yeah, it hasn't been cleaned out in a while.
Well, I guess he's not here, huh?
It doesn't look like it.
How come we didn't start with this guy? Why'd we go straight for the company?
Because, I mean, it's like harder to watch a guy down in the suburbs without being suspicious. The neighbors are going to notice something eventually.
Oh. So we're not going to be here for very long.
Yeah, we got to clear out by tomorrow morning or they're going to start calling the cops.
Well, what would they do?
Nothing. But that in and of itself is a huge tip-off. I mean, if you call the police on a strange group of weirdos in the suburbs and the police do nothing and the weirdos just stay indefinitely, like obviously something's up.
Man, this is so much harder than I imagined it was going to be.
Well, look, you can run faster than a speeding bullet and punch a man in half and you think the courts are just going to be like... Yeah, use your discretion.
I mean, in the movies, you know?
You know, funny story about suburban policing. I got this story. The local cops once tried to put out these bait cars, you know, and they're expecting kids to get in and steal them. So they get this nice Camaro. They leave the windows rolled down, and the keys are just sitting in the seat, and it's sitting out in this guy's curb. And a concerned parent, he calls the police, and he's like, hey, there's a suspicious car out on my curb. And the police, they tell him, yeah, we'll look into it. An hour passes, they don't look into it. So now this guy, he's getting nervous. You know, why aren't the police showing up? And he calls him again, and he goes, hey, No one's coming to claim this car. I've looked around. I checked the glove box, and there's nothing in it. I'm worried that somebody dumped it here. And the police say, don't worry, we'll check it out. Several more hours pass. The police don't come because it's their car. So this guy, he's worried, but he's got no choice but to sleep. He goes to bed. He wakes up the next morning. The car is still there. So he's telling his wife, you know, he goes, I don't know, the police aren't taking this seriously. I mean, I guess it's not a crime to park on a public street, but still, it's just so weird, it makes me so nervous. And so he goes and he gets the keys again, and he tries to open the trunk, like he's thinking maybe there's something in the trunk. And the keys don't open the trunk. Now he's thinking, oh God, oh that's really suspicious, and so he tries to go to the backseat, you know, he pulls it out so he can get in the trunk that way, but it's locked in place somehow. So he's got this feeling in the pit of his stomach, he's sure that something has been dumped in front of his yard and it's mob-related. So he calls the police again and he explains to him, look, there's no identifying information on the car. I am trying to figure out who it belongs to. The owner has not come back and the trunk is shut. I can't get it open. And the police are like, don't try to get the trunk open. We'll send someone. And he waits and nobody comes. So now he's thinking, the police will only help me if there is some sort of crime. So he gets a screwdriver and he doesn't even know what he's doing, but he goes to the trunk. And he tries to stick the screwdriver in the keyhole. And that is when the police show up and they arrest the guy. You see, all the surveillance equipment was in the trunk, which was why it was locked up. He couldn't get into it. And as soon as he tried to get in that trunk, they didn't care whether he could or not. That was when it was time to spring closed and arrest him. Now, you gotta understand, Flux. Trying to break into a car, regardless of your reason, is illegal.
So did this guy go to prison?
I don't know if he would've. See, the DA has discretion over these kinds of things, and you don't have to come down really hard on people. But usually, a DA gets elected on this basis that they're going to be hard on crime, and you don't get a magnifying glass on any individual case. Except Rudy heard about this one. That's how I know about it. Rudy is thinking to himself, this poor guy, and he is just upset about it. So he gets Snakeman's firm involved on this guy's behalf, they start talking to the DA, and eventually they get a plea deal for him. He might have gotten a plea deal anyway, but who knows?
Well, then so how did Rudy find out?
Well, the guy wrote a letter to him. He said, Captain Momentum, you defend the weak and the defenseless. He says, that's me. I didn't mean to do a crime. And of course, Rudy, you know, this can't be what we stand for. This can't be what we do. God, he just always was like that. Big things, little things. I mean, he just got so emotionally wrapped up in people's stories, their personal things. In the midst of all this, he went to the guy's house and he had a little kid. And Rudy personally apologized to the kid, as though it was Rudy's fault. I'm real sorry about your dad, kiddo. And you know, this kid's like, wow, it's all right, Mr. Momentum. Anyway, the point is, if we stay in the suburbs too long, we're going to get a phone call from some concerned parent, and it's going to be a fiasco. So this is going to be the day. This is it.
But this does kind of leave us back at square one, doesn't it?
No. The guy we're interested in is missing. The company we want to pay attention to has got soundproofing installed, cameras, security, all that stuff. Seems like they're trying to cover something up. We want to know specifically, where is this guy, and what is he working on? Then aside from that, we'll also look at those particular chemicals, figure out what are they being used on. That'll do it.
Okay, so like, a virus that just goes through their computer looking for those keywords.
Yeah, that's not overly broad, and the judge should be fine with that.
Okay.
You know what? I think we should go back to that company and hang out there before we call it a night for just a little while longer. This is nothing. This guy's gone. While we're on the way, do you think you could call up Willis McIntosh at Luna Island, see if they'll hand over their personnel file for this guy?
I thought we already looked at that.
Yeah, but we didn't do a deep dive. I want to look at this guy's LinkedIn profile, social media, anything the company's got on him, whatever they'll provide.
Okay, I guess I get on the phone, and if it's not too late, I call the prison. Hi, could I talk to Willis McIntosh?
Hello, this is Willis. Who's speaking?
Hi, this is Flux from Unstoppable Industries. We met, but we didn't really talk.
Oh, you're Lowry's new colleague.
Yeah, and I was calling because one of your former employees, a guy named Daryl Masterson, I was wondering, could we get, like, all the information that you have on him?
Yeah, sure. What all did you need?
I guess if you could email me his work history and credentials, like maybe a background check if you did one. Is that all we want?
Any disciplinary issues the company had with him?
Okay, and I guess any, like, disciplinary issues you guys had?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can have my secretary send that over. How fast do you need it?
Could I ask for soon?
Sure. I'll have my secretary send it over in about an hour, maybe. And there you go. You guys get back to the parking lot outside the R&D company, and then you get an email from Luna Island. It's got all the details you wanted on this guy. Turns out Daryl Masterson is a pretty impressive guy. He graduated from school with a degree in super science with a background in biomedical engineering, which is basically to say he does kind of what Flux does. He studied how to enhance or repair superpowers. In particular, he focused a lot on mechanical limbs, prosthesis, that type of thing. He worked for the military for a little while, but then eventually quit. Looks like it was an honorable discharge. It wasn't anything major. He then went on to work for Luna Island. He self-reports as a super genius, but it's never been certified.
Bit of a weird career track.
Yeah, first military work and then into this. It's kind of like he knew what he was doing.
While you guys are sitting out here, a pickup truck drives up. Guy gets out, he unloads some barrels from the back of the truck, then wheels them into the building. It's late, so this is weird.
Hey, check this out.
Do you think he's going upstairs?
Unless that accounting office is doing something with chemicals, it's gotta be.
The guy comes back, the barrels are gone. He gets in his pickup, he starts to drive away.
Hey, let's follow this guy.
Oh, I don't really know how to tail people. I mean, I've never trained for that.
All right, move over, kid, and watch him master.
Okay, all right.
Kimon shifts himself to the driver's seat and then eases after this guy, keeping a nice, safe distance away. You follow him, and he eventually winds up parking outside an apartment complex in the inner city. He gets out, and he goes inside. Looks like a younger guy, maybe mid-20s. Kind of tall, skinny.
All right, Flux, so here's what we're going to do. I want you to take this driver's license number, call the police, and ask them if they can do an ID on it.
That's not a thing we need a warrant for, right?
Nah, you could just do it for fun if you want.
Well, you call the police and ask them to check up on this guy. He's not wanted for anything right now, but he does have a prior arrest. He was sort of a supervillain. He called himself the Buffet Bandit. It wasn't a very serious name. He has a bottomless stomach, so he can eat as much as he wants, and then he got banned from every buffet in town. Eventually, they arrested him for trespassing. A buffet asked him to leave, and he refused. Then he got in a fight with the police, kinda. He refused to leave again, and he weighs 900 pounds because in spite of his looks, he still weighs as much as he eats. He wound up doing some prison time for that, but not at Luna Island, though. The judge was a little bit worried that he might die if he suddenly became 900 pounds without a superpower. Besides, it wasn't that big of a crime, and it wasn't violent. It's not clear why he actually got time for it, but he might have sassed the judge or something. Who knows? Either way, the guy's in the system.
The Buffet Bandit.
You know, you bless a man with a superpower, and he desires to live it out.
You know, there are times when I think, like, I'm not doing the right things in life, I'm not on the right track, but at least I'm not the Buffet Bandit. I got that.
Well, maybe he's moving up in the crime world.
Who would respect the Buffet Bandit to hire them to be in their gang?
The guy weighs 900 pounds, Elvis. You get in a fist fight with him, and that's a lot more than you bargained for.
Oh, I guess I didn't think about that.
Yeah, well, you better think about it, because this is one of the scariest parts of our job. If we have to arrest that guy, don't forget, he weighs 900 pounds. You're arresting a gorilla.
I think that's like two gorillas, actually.
You're arresting two gorillas!
Are we gonna go arrest him right now?
No, not yet. We don't know what crime he's done. All right, come on, let's get back to base and get Snakeman on this warrant.